This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yep. So that puts you at like 33?
Yep.
Yep.
Just
okay.
Turned 33.
Yep. Yeah. And so you're in your second term as mayor of Middletown.
Yep.
And you at one point interned with Chris Murphy in his Senate office, mm-hmm. correct? And I want to get to some of your personal story in a second, but just in general, how are things in Middletown?
Things are good, and we appreciate you being here. We were talking before going live that we're very, just like other municipalities around the state, we're very much in the throes of both figuring out our municipal budget, also figuring out what the impact of everything going on at the state and federal level is going to look like on local taxpayers.
I want to ask because I have these conversations about the fiscal guardrails, and
yes.
you know Lamont is you know. He's not. He's a Democrat, and he has a lot of Democrat leanings. But fiscally, he's not a classic Democrat in a lot of ways, right?
Yep.
I mean, he's been very, very conservative with the financials. But in this case, and this wasn't his original thesis, but because of the unknowns of what's going to happen in terms of federal funding, I do understand the desire to be really conservative about everything because you just don't know. And with the budget, we might not know. They might not know until like May.
Yep.
And then they got to finish the budget by in June. So, I mean, we were talking off mic, and so I understand what the state level, but you might get a compounding. If the state gets less money from the federal government, you might get less money from the federal government, but you might get less from the state because the federal government's giving less to the
Correct.
State.
Yeah.
And so this is a total, like, I don't want to get a little like a deus ex machina. Like, it's really like coming out of nowhere,
yeah.
right? And so how nervous are you?
It's interesting because there is a degree of uncertainty that we deal with at the local level every year, or at least every biennial budget year for the state, because
right.
We have a budget schedule that by the time we need to introduce a budget and adopt a budget, and this is, again, true for a lot of municipalities, the state hasn't finalized its budget yet. That's usually something that happens in the last days or hours of the
right.
legislative session. So there is a degree of unpredictability every year. We have to make some assumptions and hope for the best when
right.
it comes to whatever the state is going to adopt. This year, the state is sort of facing that same situation in terms of the uncertainty that's coming down from Washington. Certainly, there is direct local impact, largely on the school side. They are schools all over the state receive Title I funding and other federal funding. Obviously, the Department of Education has been one of the big topics in the news. And again, not so much what is going to happen, but just the uncertainty of what may or may not happen.
Are you staring down like maybe a multi-million dollar hole? And are you, if so, are you gaming out what to do if that's the case?
Yes is the answer. And again, it's not. It's hard to quantify.
Right. It could be. Not, you might be the same, and it
right.
might be a couple million bucks.
And I think that one of the things that we need to, I think to your point, one of the things that we need to be doing as a state, and that something that we're trying to do at the municipal level and make sure that the governor and our legislators are hearing us is, yes, we need to be conservative. We need to be thoughtful. We need to be careful about whatever assumptions and decisions we make. But we also need to be recognizing that the state is in a very strong position fiscally.
Right.
And that is not true for a lot of other states. It has not historically been true in Connecticut. And we need to be careful about not getting ourselves into a situation similar to the one that we were in 15
so
years
you,
ago.
I mean, is that implying that maybe the rainy day fund would help fill the gap for municipal funding?
I think that it's really going to be something that we're going to have a conversation about. I think I would be interested to hear what anybody's definition of a rainy day is. If it's not,
if it's
not massive, you know,
what is the rainy day that you would need to tap the fund?
Right, right. And at this point, you know, municipalities have one blunt instrument for raising revenue called the property tax.
Right.
The state has been actually restricting our ability to use that tool, and it's not a tool that is
you don't want to use
it's not sustainable for people to have their property tax bills going up year after year after year alongside all the other bills.
Right, because you'll lose residents, you'll lose businesses, and you'll hurt families. I mean, that's hard.
And there's got to be a more long-term strategy to fiscal sustainability that's not just, you know, these fiscal guardrails, so to speak. There needs to, at some point, be a degree of relief for the actual residents of the state.
We're talking with Ben Florsheim, who's the mayor of Middletown here in Bryan & Company. I have a bunch of stuff I want to check through. So, I mean, in general, so the budget thing is stressful. And it's stressful normally, but in these, and it's not even a political statement. I know you're a Democrat. I'm an unaffiliated voter. But regardless of the politics of it, just the sheer fact, your job is not to be a Democrat, your job is to be mayor, and you need to balance things. And if you're not going to get a certain amount of money, you got to figure it out. I mean, so it's one of those things where you got to deal with it no matter what the political leanings are. But I want to ask sort of like a more broader Middletown question. Mm-hmm. I mean, how is the city? How's it going? Like, I mean, what's give me like a snapshot of what's going well and outside of the budget, like what is challenging you right now?
The what's going well is that we are, again, not to stay on the budget, but we are in a very strong fiscal position in Middletown in the sense that we have a AAA bond rating. We have a fully funded retirement.
Was that the case when you took over?
It was the case when we took over. And I think that I've been fortunate, you know, to benefit from some really strong leadership in the past that has focused on financial stability for the city. That has allowed us, despite all the challenges, despite all the uncertainty, to continue investing in the things that we need to invest in, things like just the basics of local government, road repairs, and as well as we've done some amazing...
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy!
Just in the last few years, renovations and expansions of some of our public institutions. We have there was an old swimming pool at Veterans Memorial Park that opened in the early 60s that was fully renovated. There's now a brand new splash pad and pool complex that the public is now able to take advantage of. We now have a community rec center, our old middle school, that most of which was torn down and replaced a few years ago. Part of it was retained, and now that is a rec center that offers programming and enables us to offer programming that we weren't able to offer before. We have a lot of housing development underway, affordable housing, market rate housing.
When is that going to come online?
So there's a project on Newfield Street called Springside that is now online, but there's still portions. So it's for rent. There's people. There's tenants that are now living there, but there's sort of a phased construction of the project. So there's a lot more underway.
Got it.
We just cut the ribbon recently on an expansion of some of our Housing Authority property on Randolph Road.
Is it getting snapped up right away?
Pretty much. Yeah. And as projects finish, there's more getting underway. So, and then there's some amazing projects on Main Street as well, which has historically not been as residential. We have these amazing.
Well, it's great because the more people live here, then they walk to the coffee shops and this and that. And
exactly.
It's not just Wesleyan who's fueling the businesses. We're so tight on time. I want to ask you, besides the budget, what's tough for you?
The really tough thing right now is trying to realize these projects in a timely and cost-effective way. Again, not to bring everything back to monetary stuff, but it's also construction is very difficult in terms of finding labor. We are in a very difficult situation as a state, again, and this gets talked about frequently when it comes to energy and the cost of energy and just the ability to have a grid that is serving the needs that we need it to meet. We are in a housing crisis in the state, and those of us who are trying to build housing, setting aside the political challenges associated with that, once you have all the approvals, once you've got shovels in the ground, once you've got the units built and ready to be occupied, you still have to have power. You have to tap into a grid that is reliable, and that has been very challenging. And both in terms of the rates, but also just the ability to get things up and running.
I mean, I have like a bunch of other questions, but I just want to ask you. We got to go against the clock. You came here from. You grew up in Wisconsin?
So I grew up.
Because it said in your profile, it says Utah and Wisconsin.
Yes. I grew up mostly in Utah, where my dad was a professor at the University of Utah. But family's originally from Wisconsin.
We moved
back there when I was a teenager.
So you come here to Wesleyan.
Yeah.
And why did you stay?
A lot of it was that I had moved around as like this academic brat and hadn't had a sense of community in a place that felt like home for some time. And when I was in college, I was getting involved in politics and getting involved.
You were like Mr. Young Democrat on the Wesleyan campus.
That was in many ways, I look back at that and it feels like it was just kind of an accident. You know, I got here and I started to get involved in things and the city, and you were talking with Jen earlier, and I know it was on some of the same stuff. It's a community that really draws people in. And I think if you are willing and interested in getting involved, people in this community really reward that. And I was just excited to discover that this was a city that had so much cultural vibrancy, had so much kind of interesting history, was incredibly diverse in all sorts of ways in terms of just in terms of our geography, in terms of our population, but also was the size where you could, if you wanted to get involved and make a difference,
you could.
Everybody can do that.
Listen, I wish we could talk more. I know that national politics are important to you, too. I would love to have the chance to talk about that more in the future.
Yeah,
but
sure.
We got to run. We're against the clock. Ben Florsheim, who's the second-term mayor here in Middletown. It's been a great morning. We're really glad you came down and gave us some real thoughtful answers about what's going on in this community.
Well, thank you for coming down to town, and thanks for being at Brew Bakers.
It's awesome.
The cheddar bagels here are certainly one of the reasons that it was worth sticking around.
That's why you stick around for years.